Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 438, entitled Taking WordPress Editing Further with Amender's AI-Powered Universal Content Customization. It was published on Thursday, the 25th of September, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and in a short while, I'll be joined by Sebastian Webb from Amender so that we can talk about this brand new and very interesting product. Before then, though, a few bits of housekeeping. If you like what we do at WP Builds, why not subscribe? Head to our subscribe page. It's ingeniously at wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Over there, you're going to find all of the channels where we produce things. So we post things to Blue Sky, Mastodon, X, YouTube, that kind of thing. And you can subscribe on those individually. But if you want to keep in touch in a more intimate way, fill out the form for our newsletter. If you do that, you will receive two emails a week. One, when we produce the podcast, this is what you're listening to now. It comes out on a Thursday, and we'll tell you about that. But also, we do a show called This Week in WordPress every Monday at 2 p.m. UK time. If you fancy having information about that, that will also drop into your email inbox on a Tuesday after we've recorded it, and I've put it out the next day. If you fancy joining us live for that, head to wpbuilds.com/live every Monday at 2 p.m. UK time. Join us in the comments, it really does keep the show going. And if you fancy coming on that show, wpbuilds.com/TWIW. It's the acronym for the show's name this week in WordPress. Fill out the form and we'll get back in touch with you when there's a slot available. The next thing to say is if you enjoy what we're doing and you have a product or service out in the WordPress space, you will appreciate the reach that we have and the fact that we can get your product out in front of a WordPress-specific audience. If you'd like to find out how to do that, and you'll hear from three companies in a moment that have been doing that, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that's OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Right, what have we got for you today? Well, today I'm chatting with Sebastian Webb. You may know Sebastian. He has a website over at ThemeOver, and over there you might have found in the past MicroThemer. Well, he's got a brand new product called Amender, and it's a page builder agnostic way of customizing and editing content on any WordPress website. So it really is quite ingenious. So we talk about the background of the product, why it has been built by him, how he built it, the technical architecture and the functionality that's on offer, the fact that it binds heavily, really does lean heavily into AI content creation. We talk about the recommended use cases and what it's good for and sometimes what it's not good for, where the data is managed and how non-destructive editing can take place. We also talk about the future direction of the product and how you might buy it, aka the pricing. That's all coming up, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast again, although many years later, by Sebastian Webb. Hello, Sebastian.
Hello.
Nice to have you on. I think it's fair to say you were on the podcast, honestly, like 8 years ago or something like that. You were one of the very early ones, I believe.
Oh, well, thanks for having me back and pleasure to be there at the beginning.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Sebastian's joining us today because he's got a brand new product. However, he's had a really credible product in the WordPress space for years and years and years. You may have heard of it. It's called MicroThema. And although we could spend ages talking about that, because I'm sure it's been updated multiple times since we last spoke, we're not. We're going to talk about a brand new product, which is called Amender, A-M-E-N-D-E-R. It's available over on the ThemeOver website, which is where Sebastian's products live. And I'm going to direct you to it, actually, and ask that you pause this podcast and go and check out the video, which is available on the homepage. So go to themeover.com/Amender. So it's exactly as you'd imagine, but the links will be in the show notes, themeover.com/Amender. Right at the top of the page, there's a little circular play icon, which is hiding a video. And if you go and watch that, it's about 11 minutes long. It will really help you to understand what we're going to talk about, because I feel some of it may get lost because of the complexity of it. I'm going to try our hardest to keep up, but you never know. It might be worth going and watching that. Right, introduction time, Seb. Tell us a little bit about you. Obviously, you know, not like the full hour-long version, more like the minute-long version, but just give us your potted bio. Who are you? What have you built? How have you, you know, come to work with WordPress, that kind of thing?
So I think I got into developing websites after uni, even though I did psychology as my degree. I wanted to work for myself, and I thought it was a good way to get through that. I did kind of websites for electricians and builders and things, and I found that I wasn't charging enough because I'm too nice to charge enough for small businesses for websites for the time it takes, especially when you're learning and you know it takes you a long time.
Yeah.
So I decided I wanted a product, and I think that I probably worked on MicroThema as a way, as a side project, as a way to learn JavaScript. I was still starting out quite early, and then released it on ThemeForest, I think it's called.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
got some people bought it. I was like, wow, okay. I was so excited. So I then developed it further, and then when I think it was around 2014-15, I created a new version that was a bit more like visual and a bit less niche. It was kind of, you could point and click on things and customize the way. So it's basically a CSS editor. Mm. You point on something, anything on the page, no matter how, what this element was created by, whether it's a builder or kind of just native theme files or a contact form, any plugin, and you can customize the way it looks. And with MicroThema, that's kind of easier to do because the way CSS works. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but we'll talk about Amender, which follows a similar principle where you can customize anything, the CSS, which is done sort of easily through adding CSS style sheets, but also the content, and that's the hard bit. But just leaping back to where we were, MicroThema became quite popular when I was traveling with my girlfriend at the time, and we released this new version, and lots of people bought it, and then it became my full-time job. And then I've basically been working on it for about 10 years, over 10 years now. I had kids about 5 years ago, and kind of worked semi part-time for the early days of my kids being young.
Nice.
And then, but kept MicroThema going, and it's still been my main job. But then now that they're at school, I've kind of got time to work on something new, and I'm working full-time again, and I've developed this new product called Amender, which ties in with the AI revolution, but also fulfills a gap that people would occasionally ask me about over the years. They'd say, you know, can MicroThema, I wish I could like use it to edit CSS, and it was a bit more like a builder, like a page builder. And I'd always said, no, it's just a CSS tool, because the way builders work generally is, you know, you need to be in control of both the content and the styling in one go, right? Like you have an interface, generally, say Elementor or something, you add some content, and then there's some options where you add the styling for that specific content. And that's kind of how they make it manageable for themselves as developers creating some software, but also just it's how users have got accustomed to using these visual tools to build websites. And so, it's quite hard. What Amendo is doing is quite different, really, because it's a tool that allows you to customize the content and the styling of anything on WordPress, on any aspect of the page, as if you had built that page using like a very traditional, simple HTML page, which is what ultimately WordPress outputs, a HTML page, which is sent to the browser, which is no different in terms of what the browser receives to the good old days before content management systems, where you just, there's a developer with an actual HTML file and they go in and they make some changes and something appears on screen. And so the way Amendo does this is there are various hooks in WordPress where, as the page is being built by WordPress core itself and any plugins that happen to be installed in the theme, it goes through like an execution process where you have, so first of all, it collects all of like the assets, like the CSS files that are going to be loaded. Then it works on, say, the header, the actual visible header of the page. Then it goes down to the content, and there are various hooks where you can customize the content, and then down to the footer. And just before it's sent to the browser, there's this hook called shutdown, and that allows people to plugin developers to customize the actual overall HTML that all of that stuff has come to make. And that's actually where things like caching plugins intervene. So that's something like WP Rocket or Lightspeed Cache will intervene at this stage to try and do some, say, optimizations to make your JavaScript smaller or remove unnecessary code. But it's not really been used by visual builders at this stage, because generally they work higher up in the process. And so Elementor will create some, the page layout using the content or something. That's a hook. It's just called the content. And it'll insert its changes there. But for what Amendo's trying to do is give complete flexibility to editing the page, just as if you were one of those old-fashioned developers that were working on these HTML files. And the reason I wanted to build this in the first place is because of AI coming on the scene and basically being quite good at code. So when ChatGPT 3 was first released, I think I had this idea quite soon after. Because I have MicroThema, it was kind of it occurred to me, because I was like, okay, well, how am I going to adapt MicroThema to this? And then, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could just, MicroThema could do anything? So I tested out whether ChatGPT could, how good it was at CSS. And it was, it was okay, but it wasn't great. So I kind of just shelved the idea, because I thought, initially, it was going to be an integration with just CSS. And I thought, I don't want to build something that's really this complex integration with this AI tool, and actually it's just going to be disappointing results. And then over the year, I started using AI, like everyone, I think. Yeah. I started using AI more and more and starting to be more and more convinced with how good it was at coding. And so I thought, okay, I think now's the time it's ready. So then I thought, okay, well, how can I provide a mechanism for AI to make any change to any website where it doesn't have to consider all the different UIs of all the plugins and WordPress itself and all that. It just needs to make a change. And so, well, the only way to do that is for it to work on the HTML, either on the server side, which is why I'm talking about this shutdown hook, or in the browser. So after the page is already loaded, running client side. So once I came to this realization, I set about doing a test. And my main concern was actually performance, as I thought, well, is this going to be weirdly slow? Is it, it's got lots to do. So I did a basic test, and to my surprise, you could, a fairly medium-sized page, like say the MicroThema landing page, which is not short, it's not super long, but it's very sizable. I was able to, make say a dozen changes, pass the whole HTML page, make a dozen changes in less than 1 millisecond, like a fraction of a millisecond, like 0.00 milliseconds or something, 0.01 milliseconds. I was like, okay, all right. So, because I was thinking, well, maybe even if it takes, 20, 50 milliseconds, if with caching, it's not going to be a problem. But this really spurred me on. I was like, okay, this can be done quickly. Then I went about basically building a system of like 10 actions where you can say, you know, insert before, insert after, replace, add, you know, various ways of manipulating the page, and then various things you can do, like, so whether you're adding text or HTML if you're a coder and things like that. And once I got a basic sort of protocol for it to customize the page, I then integrated with the AI, you know, the AI, I think I was trying ChatGPT at the time, to see whether it could all come together and it could make changes. And once I saw something on screen, I was like, wow, this has got some legs. So I kind of decided I'm going to build this. It's probably going to take me about 6 months to a year, and I did it. So that brings you up to the current moment.
So just once again, so it's now that Sebastian has described it, you may have a bit more of a handle on it. But if you didn't watch the video, the visual representation of what you're going to see will really cement it in your head. So once again, themeover.com/Amender, links in the show notes, over on WP Builds. So there's two products, and I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to do a bit of explaining from my point of view, because I think it will help, certainly on an audio podcast, I'm going to try and help the listener get through this. So imagine a page builder, basically. So you've got the content area where you see what the user will see of your website. So you've got this big area in the middle where you can see what the user will see. The website is basically in there. And then you've got these sort of panels to the left and to the right, and you are able to edit the content. But the bit which is kind of confounding to me, and you've just explained quite a lot of it, but we'll dig into that in a moment, is that normally you have to go into the editing interface of the thing that you created that piece of content with. So let's say you're a Beaver Builder user. In order to amend that successfully, at least anyway, you'd need to be back in Beaver Builder's editing interface. If it was Elementor, you're opening up Elementor. If it was, I don't know, the block editor, just plain old Gutenberg, you're going into there and you're making the amendments and you're clicking save. Now, this is totally different. This is utterly agnostic of what created it. And that's the remarkable bit. So you're seeing what Elementor built, what Beaver Builder built, what the block editor built, but you're editing it in the amender interface. You don't need to worry about that page builder, which is really curious to me. Because especially for people who are, I don't know, maybe just taking over a website or something like that, then you might not be familiar with that tool. You might have no idea how Elementor works or Divi or whatever it might be. But it strikes me that with Amender, I mean, I don't know whether you're saying that this would be a tool to create content. I don't think you are. I think this is more of a go back and kind of have a look.
I called it Amender specifically to draw attention to the fact that it's like this, what you're explaining with, say Elementor, Beaver Builder content, I would imagine people using Amender to say, one use case like you mentioned, if someone just doesn't know, sometimes the settings for how a page is constructed are littered in all different plugins, different like WordPress's own, you've got no idea, and you might want to take a cheeky shortcut and use Amender and just change some content, because then you don't have to think about it. But if you're a developer and you know where the original source of this content comes from, the use case for Amender is more just kind of augmenting, say, a particular widget in some way. So where there's a customization option that's missing that you would like to be there, that the Elementor team or whoever, they haven't added because it's maybe quite a niche case or something like that. You can use Amender to fill those gaps. So you can carry on using these tools that have all this pre-made content that saves you so much time. But if it, you know, you wanted it to animate in a specific way, you can use Amender. You can just say, oh, can you animate this, you know, this aspect of this, you know, I want the heading text to come in from the left. I want this button down here to move in from the right. And that's quite a specific requirement. There's no customization option for that. Then Amender is your universal customization tool that, even if, you know, you can ask AI, oh, can you do this, even if you're not familiar with the code that would be required to do it. And if you are a developer, you've got quite a convenient way of just, you know, adding in a little bit of JavaScript.
It strikes me that it's kind of like a bit of a tool for everybody, in that you could go to any, and I'm guessing it's bound to WordPress, it's a plugin. Wonder if maybe there's a way of making it not WordPress specific in the future.
Maybe in future it feels like
it could be something you could deploy on any old website, you know, Laravel or otherwise. But you go to the piece of content that you want to create, you invoke the Amender editor, and then up it comes. And in the video, the first thing you do, which I guess is the thing which everybody would do, is you start clicking around and you highlight, for example, the one of the H1s or H2s or something like that, and you just change it. And so you're in no editing interface that you've ever seen before, but okay, it's okay, you've now changed it. I can't remember, you add a word or something like that. But then you start to say things like, oh, okay, right, it can do that, that's fine. We get that. And then you start talking to your website. Maybe I've seen that somewhere, but I don't think I've seen it quite like that. You start asking increasingly interesting questions. So it's a case of, I think you ask it to change the text, and then you I can't remember what the series of words are that you use at the end, but you have to tell it I'm done, basically, in the prompt.
Oh yeah, say send prompt.
Send prompt, that's right.
So you, for like a fully hands-free.
Right. So you give it your instruction and then finish with send prompt, and it does that thing and it changed the text. Then it was, I don't know, change the gradient on the background or something, and it did that thing. Then you click to this area where there was just a bit of space, and you told it to add an animation in. And in this case, it was a green leaf, and the green leaf was rotating around. But the animation, like, what the heck? So it's not like that's a, you know, an Elementor or a Beaver Builder module or anything like that. That's come from somewhere. And how does that even work? So presumably there's a bit of JavaScript which has to be downloaded and added to the DOM somewhere. What's going on?
So basically what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make Amender able to make any change that a web developer can make. And one of the things, so in terms of the code it can generate, is CSS, HTML, and JavaScript. And that's just basically all of the languages you use when you're creating a web page. And there are certain, the things I was demoing in that video, there are certain things it can do very easily, like because I've given it some background. So animations, so GSAP is the most common animation library that people use these days. It's quite small and it's fast, and so I've taught Amender, the AI assistant in Amender, this is how, you know, how to create. It already knows. The thing about AI models is they already have some basic understanding of all of these technologies, including not just the core languages, the core coding languages, but also a lot of the popular libraries. But I can give it some nudges, and then it can be quite reliable. And so I basically told it, you know, if they ask for an animation, use GSAP, and then it can just create like a small snippet of code. And Amender is able to do the loading of any dependencies. So if it adds a small bit of JavaScript for GSAP, Amender is able to just not through AI, but just programmatically analyze the code and understand, okay, they're using GSAP here. That means we need to load the GSAP library on the page, and we'll run it according to what the AI has said. So when the page first loads, but they could choose to run it when it comes in view. Actually, I think that's the one I use in the video.
Yeah.
So that's generally what you want for animating elements, is that if an element's halfway down the page, it'll start animating when it scrolls into view, that kind of thing. So I've sort of done a lot of the boilerplate stuff behind the scenes, so that it's very easy for both the AI or a human to, if they know a bit of GSAP code, just pop in a little function and it'll work without.
I think on at the beginning, that was the most captivating thing. It was the fact that there was a little microphone icon inside of some kind of WordPress website interface. Maybe that's elsewhere, I've not seen it. The idea that you communicate with the website and you give it instructions.
You just ask it to
You ask it to do something, and then you use the keyword to commit it, and then it does it. I mean, that just is incredible. I remember being at a WordCamp London event probably about 8 years ago or something like that, and there was a guy on stage from Adobe who was talking about artificial intelligence, and obviously we were nowhere near what we've now got. You know, it was all pie in the sky back then. And this person from Adobe was standing on the stage, and he was basically saying, we will talk toward our websites. We'll say, you know, we want to animate this thing. We want a picture of a cat. No, not that cat, a different one, a black and white cat. Yeah, that one. with over a and then put a red button underneath it. No, make the corners round. You get the idea. We talk at the website. And I thought, okay, that's interesting, but it's kind of Star Trek. This probably won't happen in my lifetime. And there it is.
There it is.
There it is. And it's right inside this tool. Is it like, is that kind of like the MVP for this thing? Sorry, not MVP. Is that the UVP? Is AI kind of like a big part that you're pushing forward? Because obviously we've got the ability to amend everything, and we'll get onto the nuts and the bolts of how that works and what have you in a moment. But are you kind of making AI like the front and centerpiece, the first citizen, if you like?
I mean, it's funny. It was the reason why I created this, but after I created it, I realized actually, I think it's, you can totally use Amender without using the AI features at all. As a developer, I think, you know, I would find it very easy to use. I've tried to create the interface so that if you know a bit of code, it makes it trivial to just make these code changes that you would know how to make if you were in control of the content originally, instead of using a pre-made third-party package. Just make it incredibly easy, and by making the least number of changes as well. Like, so you can say, instead of replacing a whole section, you can select one small element within it and say, add, you know, an exclamation mark or something. And then if you were to ever change the original content in that section, that going back to the source and making the change, it will still reflect on the page. The amender will just always add an apostrophe after, say, the second paragraph, sorry, an exclamation mark or something. So it's like you're doing very surgical, tiny little code changes just where you need them. Well, respecting like the underlying thing to come through, a bit like child themes and parent themes kind of thing.
Okay.
That kind of concept.
Yeah.
The AI aspect, going back to your question, is, you know, how important is it going to be? I think it's sort of equally important, really. I think that what the AI does is it means that anyone, even if you're not technical, you can just ask it, you know, either using that microphone option, which, by the way, only works in Chrome at the point that we're recording reliably, because that's not using one of the latest AI models. That's just the browser's own ability to translate speech.
Oh gosh! Into text. Okay, yeah, that's all shipping in the browser these days, isn't it?
Yeah, and so they're all working on this. So by the time people hear this, it might be available in Firefox as well. But at the moment, it's just Chrome. The fact that anyone, you know, that's kind of the marketing pitch, if you like. You can just ask your website to change. You don't have to be technical. That's pretty amazing. How, in terms of, and this is, I can say that because it's the AI that's making this possible. You know, this is, and in terms of how reliable is that actually working in practice? Because there's so many AI tools now, right? And sometimes they're a bit disappointing. Sometimes they blow your mind, like you were telling me about Descript, and that blows your mind. With Amender, I think it's like it can, you know, the changes you saw in the video, it can do those. They were pretty impressive, but there are some changes people might ask, because I get people to add a little thumbs up or a thumbs down when they're using this AI if it doesn't work. And I look at what doesn't work. And so if they're trying to change, say, replace the entire page with a completely different layout.
Oh, gosh, yeah, okay.
It can't do that at this stage, right? Not reliably. It will probably try and do something, but it just might not be close to what you need it to do. Yeah. So it's like, there's lots more I can work on in this area, which I'm going to, so that the people who are non-technical and also don't necessarily have an intuition about what AI is or isn't able to do, I can keep impressing them and get them, you know, more and more of those users to be like, wow, this is great.
But it's also got that sort of traditional page builder-y interface, if you like, where you've got buttons and panels, and, you know, you can interact with things on a more granular technical level. So there's text areas and there's areas where you can drop code into and what have you. And one of the things that you're at pains to point out in the video is that everything's non-destructive. So let's say, for example, that you ask the AI to do something, but you have an intuition that, well, that looks weird. That's not what I asked for quite.
Yeah.
I don't really want to commit that. But before I decide not to commit it, let me go and have a little poke around and see what's happened. So that's part of the promise as well. Anything that you do in Amender, no matter whether you're doing this with the interface, so you're interacting with the UI that you've built or the AI, none of it is being committed until you've decided finally, I guess in the WordPress way, to hit publish or update or what have you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and on the publishing thing as well is it's free. It's as well as it not you're not having to commit anything. Even when you do click publish, which by the way you need the licensing model I've gone for is it's completely free to play around with. And there's no time limit. It's not like 14 days or 30 days or something. You can play around with the full features in Amender, but you only pay. You only need to buy a license if you want to click the publish button, so that your end users of your website can see your changes.
Oh, okay, that's it. We'll get onto the pricing and what have you later.
Yeah. So when you have clicked publish, you can still just. It's not like your changes are then somehow in any way more permanent. You still, if you delete the change within Amender. Then it just reverts back to so say you you replaced one section with an image or something, so a text section with an image. If you delete your Amender settings, which the AI might have created, but then they're still all visible in the visual interface. If you delete that, then just the image goes away and the original text just comes straight back. So earlier I think you were talking about, you know, how does it actually work?
Yeah, I want to drill into that actually. So let's go. Yeah. Let's go for that now then. So, do you mind if I just interrupt there with a bit of a question?
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I have is, I guess, let's say that for example, I've made a big modification. Let's go for the hero section. So it's really obvious what's going on. Mm. I've completely changed the text and I've changed the background image. So what was once this thing is now a completely different thing. It's very visual, very easy to see. Mm. Let's say that I'm on the front end and I see my amended version, there it is, brilliant. But let's say that I go into my original tool, which might have been Elementor, and I click edit with Elementor. How does that work? Am I then presented with the original version? Or
in Elementor you'll still see the original, so because it doesn't go into the Elementor settings and change anything.
Yes,
this is, yeah, so this is why it's fully reversible. And so what you would do, there's a review panel in Amender as well, so you can see what changes have I made. So you might look at this and go, oh, that's a bit, you know, that's not what I'm seeing. And so with Amender, you would just, to keep track, you click on the review panel and say, like, oh, view without my amendments as well. So you can temporarily view it out and you go, oh, it's gone back to that, and that's what I'm seeing in Elementor.
Okay.
But that's kind of what I mean by, if something's editable, if something's easily editable in Gutenberg, Elementor, or any, you know, insert your page builder here. I don't really recommend overwriting it in Amender if you've got an easy way of, because you don't need to, and it would create that slightly confusing position where you're like, I don't know where. So it's more about just going beyond when there's no customization option.
Oh, that's an interesting way of couching it. Okay, so really, you're not advising that people wholesale go and edit the text of a blog post, say, for example, in Amender.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no need
for it. Right, do it in the original tool. But let's say there was just something out of reach, like, I don't know, this particular thing didn't have the option to change the background gradients or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But you fancied it. Then in Amender, you could go in and do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So, like you say, it's an amendment tool, but that's a nice definition to draw, because I think people could quickly sort of start to rely on it, and because it does do the amendments to the text, maybe they start doing it. And then there's this whole, like, I've got two websites. What's going on? I've got, you know, this
exactly. Like things. But having said that, someone was asking me, should I use this to update my WooCommerce product descriptions?
Oh,
and again, I just said the same thing. I was like, I don't think, you know, just. Edit it in WooCommerce, but one reason you might actually use Amender just for prototyping is that you get the live, in WooCommerce, unless it's changed since I last used it, you're generally in a back-end admin panel when you're adding your product descriptions, right? So what you would do, and actually you can use the free version of Amender for this, because you don't need to publish if you're just prototyping, but you could just update the product descriptions in Amender until it looks like, you know how sometimes you want the text to just align nicely with the image, you don't want a new word on a new line. So you just do that in Amender and go, yeah, that's right, and then just copy and paste it into WooCommerce and remove the amendment, and you're back to how you were, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so how is this all maintained? How is it stored? Because obviously you're not overwriting anything that Elementor does. This is stuff sitting on top. Let's go for the words on top. It's sitting a layer above, if you like.
Yeah.
So where is it all being stored? Let's start there. Where is it being stored?
Okay, so basically there's a database. The default name would be WP Micro Content. And that's basically just your your little snippets of changes. So, you know, if you added a heading, it would be the heading text. And then there's also like a small little configuration thing, basically like a JSON object, like a way of storing data in a standardized way, where it says, so the action would be like prepend, and then the aspect would be HTML or inner HTML if it's just the inner text of the heading, and then there'd be a CSS selector. So this is actually one of the things it's worth pointing out in terms of how it works is whether you're changing the HTML, the final shutdown HTML output of the WordPress page on the server, or if you're doing it in the browser dynamically, some shortly after the page has just loaded or when something comes into view or is clicked, it always uses CSS selectors to target the things you want to change.
Okay.
So with Microthema, and it's the same with Amender, when you point and click on something, a CSS selector is generated automatically by analyzing the HTML of the page. Then you can customize that CSS selector or just use the default one. And that's how you apply, you know, traditionally with Microthema, that's how you apply styling. But now with Amender, that's how you just have, you target something for some sort of change. So, you know, the prepending some inner HTML or adding some text. So basically it just checks those three things. It's kind of, what do I target? What do I change about it? And there's only about 10 aspects to 10 actions you can do, like insert before, replace substring, run, and then, you know, several aspects like CSS classes, JavaScript function, or just a JavaScript file. And by combining this, you can basically get any change you want on the page. In terms of going back to where it was stored, we've got your little configuration, which runs these, you know, these action aspect and a little bit of content. And so when the page first loads, if it's on the server, it will run those changes or pull the changes from the database. And it does that quite efficiently as well. And then it just updates the HTML, and then it sends the browser, and then its work is done. And if you're just using, and by the way, the default option is for it to run in the client side, in JavaScript, okay, yeah. So it's not actually doing the server side updates. There are various advantages of why you would use the server updates versus client side, which we could talk about later maybe. But so basically in the browser, there's just a little bit of JSON that Amender works through, and it goes, okay, what changes do you want to make? And it just runs through them. And actually, not now is a good time to talk about it. So basically, if your changes are, say, you're changing, like you said, a hero section earlier, if you want to run a change there, probably you'd want to use server side, because you want that change to be instant.
Immediate.
You don't want to how it was and then see it suddenly update, even if it's quick. So you don't want that flash of unstyled content or flash of changing. So that's when you would choose server side. But if it's much lower down the page, something in the footer, then there's no need really for the amendments to be done server side. You can just have a little bit of JavaScript which runs it in the footer. And also, the way like a particular plugin or theme might generate content is that content isn't actually produced until the initial HTML is sent to the browser. Yeah. It's built up dynamically.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's when you would definitely want to use just the default when the DOM's ready, like run some change kind of thing.
Okay, I understand that now. So you've got these two options, server, client. The client is the default for fairly obvious reasons, but there are, and I guess this is kind of getting into the domain of, I don't know, core web vitals and performance that. Like, which do you want and where do you want it? And is it above the fold? And will it create some sort of content shift or something like that? Make decisions. But you can pick and choose.
Exactly.
On each element. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I'm going to go back to the AI thing because I'm kind of curious about that. How does that work? So presumably you are combining that with some, I don't know, commercially available AI product.
Yeah.
And do we just drop in an API key? How does it work?
Well, at the moment it's just free. So it's in beta. The Amender's in beta right now while we're recording this, and so is the AI assistant. The AI assistant's been around in Microthema for a few months now. But I'm keeping it in beta just while I'm making sure. And while it's in beta, it's completely free as well.
Yeah, nice.
And I want to keep it free for quite a while, just so I can get people giving me the thumb, get people to use it, so I can get the feedback of, oh, this you did this well, it didn't do this well. And yeah, I've been basically trying out all of the different like frontier AI models. I've settled for the time being on Gemini Flash.
Okay.
Because it's just by far the fastest. I say that as I haven't actually tried ChatGPT Nano, which is a new one that's come out since I last set this up. But it's just much faster. What I found was that the results I was getting from using, say, ChatGPT 4 or 4.5 were fairly similar to using the Flash models, but it was just taking like 20 seconds for it to do something.
In this modern world, 20 seconds, nobody's got 20 seconds.
Exactly. I mean, and I mean, it depends on what you're doing, but because it's a live editor, right? So I need it to be fast. And what I also found is that unless you're very explicit in your instructions about how to do a specific thing, the results will be quite variable, even with the more intelligent models. So I wasn't really, and trying to, because they talk about token size, and that's kind of how that dictates the price, but also how long it takes to crunch through your, give you a response. And I found that trying to provide instructions in such a concise way that that I could get a reasonably fast response from ChatGPT was just impossible. And at one point I was just like, oh no, this feels like, I've invested a lot on the hope that these AI models were going to work as well as they help me write code when I'm working on the plugin.
Yeah.
And actually, they're not. This is a lot more work than I anticipated. But anyway, when I finally, I started experimenting with the faster models that are less capable, and realizing that actually, if you give them the same level of instructions that are necessary to get it right, with even the more intelligent models, then they could do it, and they're fast. So it's generally about 2 or 3 seconds that you get a response with.
So Gemini at the moment, and it's using your Gemini account, but presumably at some point you'll have to switch that out, especially if the product becomes successful. And will it be a case of API key here?
I'm not using bring your own key, actually, because I know a lot of people do. I think the main reason a lot of people do that is because it's easy to set up as a developer.
Yeah.
But they actually advise against it. Like all of the AI providers advise against that. They say for security reasons, because you have to store an API key in the WordPress database. Mm-hmm. But they might have their other reasons. But the reason I'm not using that option is because if you're using your own key, my own personal key, then which it also, again, it's not shared. It's not like it's installed on anyone's database. There's a separate server where it gets sent to, but it means that I can train the model,
right? Okay.
And so which is what I've been experimenting with. You get a much when it comes out of beta, and I feel like I've gathered enough information that my instructions are pretty set in stone, I will finish the process of training the model so that you give it an input and you give it a perfect output. And through doing that, you can get it to stop making like little mistakes where sometimes it provides the response in the wrong format, and so it just doesn't work, it just doesn't do anything, and you can eliminate that.
So you're adding because it's your own server, you can add your own, you can wrap it in your own context if you like, so that when it comes back, it's not trying to like poll the entire internet for some answer. It's just working on whatever it is that you've told it to look at. And obviously in this case, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, bunch of JavaScript libraries, those kind of things are in play. But, we don't...
Yeah, but... Also, it needs to be trained in providing a format that will then integrate with my software.
Yes.
You see, so it's got some specialist... things that it needs to be good at, and so some training is necessary for this particular use case of AI. You don't always need to, but I've realized that to get it, this is the thing with these AI tools. Like I was saying earlier, like some of them are better than others. I feel like there's a percentage chance where if it gets it right above a certain threshold, then people are going to use it and be like, "This is great, this is brilliant." If it's I would say probably about 85% of the time it needs to just do what you wanted, or even if it's not maybe to your taste, and you can give it a few extra prompts to say, it seems to have understood what you asked it, and it's done something. And I feel like in order to hit that threshold, and bring this AI assistant out of beta, it needs to have training in my case for what it's doing. It's quite a complex thing I'm asking it to do.
Do you see that there'll be limitations on what it will... Well, who knows what the next year will bring, because every time we think about AI and think about its limitations, somebody just walks right through that within 6 months. So, but are there any things at the moment that you think, for now at least anyway, are completely out of limits?
I don't know, in terms of like updating websites, I would say AI, it's funny, it's the thing that I found it's hard to get the AI model to do is often to like use initiative. And I think this is where they talk about, you know, what the difference between AGI and AI and what humans can do. And, you know, it's brilliant in all sorts of ways, but what I want it to do is I've given it instructions on how to analyze the page. So when you, like CSS, for instance, when you want to make a style change, you generally, as a web developer, you right click, you open up your dev tools, you have a look at the existing styles, how they're applying, you sort of like bring some things together and go, okay, so I need to add this style. And I've taught it how to do that, but it doesn't always do it.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. So I've explained, you know, and I've given it examples, and it does it sometimes. So I know, you know, but it doesn't always take the initiative because it doesn't have this, you know, it's not thinking the way we think quite the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't. And so, and I think you can nudge it to do these things, but that I feel it's a solvable problem, actually, even with AI models where they are now. I don't think it's a fundamental limitation, but I feel like that's the main thing that's holding it back from being perfect right now, if you know what I mean, a perfect replacement for a web developer.
I think you're right, because it's a real constrained set of things that you're trying to get it to do. You know, if you were asking, I don't know, about medical history of something or other, then every human is entirely different and there's no real way of locking that down. But with this, there's only a certain number of ways that you can achieve things with, well, okay, that's not true either, but you get the point. There are certain effective ways of doing things, like laying things out in tables, grid, flex, background colors, whatever it may be. And AI seems like, at least my understanding of it, that stuff is all in view. Might not come in the next 6 months. It might take a couple of years, but it does feel like it's all around the corner.
There's the thing. I think, AI is very good at coding. Yeah. It's just about eliciting that. And that's why they often talk about, you know, the importance of prompt engineering, and you're eliciting AI. If you ask it, you know, it knows more about CSS than I do, even though I've had a CSS editor plugin that I've been, you know, maintaining for a decade. It's just, you have to sometimes ask it the right question to get it to use it, so the knowledge it already has, kind of thing. But I think it's all possible. I'm hopeful on the way forward in terms of like, the system I've got, where I'm using like a fast model I can spend enough tokens explaining how something should be done to get it to then produce a good response. I just need to go through all the different common things you use in web design, basically, and train it out.
It's a really interesting tool. I hope we've done it some justice there. Hopefully you've understood that basically it allows you to go in and make amendments to any piece of content in any WordPress website, regardless of whether you've got your hands on the plugin that created it or the theme that you're familiar with or whatever. You just turn up to the content and start making changes. And if you like what you've done, you've saved it. We've explained, or at least Seb has explained, how all of that works. I think this is fabulous. And then, of course, you know, throw into that AI and the fact that there's a microphone icon and you can talk to the website is amazing. It kind of feels to me that as if this would be a really handy thing to have in your back pocket, even if you only deployed it in emergency situations once or twice. You know, you just suddenly get that phone call from a client that you haven't heard of for years, and you've forgotten exactly how their theme works and how their content is put together on the back end. And you can just go in and, yeah, sure, I'll change your telephone number or whatever it might be. Those kind of things. Real utility there. So I'll give you the URL one more time. Honestly, go and have a look at the video, because it's going to explain it far better than I can. Themeover.com/amender links in the show notes. Is there anything we missed, Seb? Is there any sort of burning thing that you're very proud of that you think we should have spoken about that?
I suppose one thing that's worth mentioning is that, which could kind of be a feature in itself, which relates to the AI thing as well, but is that there's so earlier actually you were talking about the animation of a leaf that I added in a little space on the page. And so that that's achieved using 3JS.
Okay,
so that's a library that you use where basically, if you want a 3D effect on a web page, 3JS is your go-to library to use for that. And so Amender knows how to use, it's got specific instructions on, you know, if the user asks for some sort of 3D effect, it'll use 3JS. But what it's tapping into is sort of a broader feature there where you can install any JavaScript package on NPM. I don't know, for instance, like Chart.js or like other various all the animation tools. Yeah, like when you're a web developer, because I'm trying to make the AI assistant able to basically do the same things that web developers do when they're building custom sites. And generally, they'll have their set of favorite packages for like a slider or what have you. And so there's an interface, there's a feature within the Amender interface where you can just search for a package, install it, and then start using it either yourself just by you know writing the code in the JavaScript little editor that there is, or just asking the AI to do something with that package, create some effect with that package. And I think some people might just use Amender purely for that. If they've got their favorite builder, they've got they just do everything by code and PHP and with WordPress and things. They still just the hassle of maintaining JavaScript and making sure it only loads where you need it to often means that, you know, sometimes you might just include a JavaScript on every page when actually it only needs to go on one page. And Amender, the way it applies styles is everything goes in a folder and you set the folder to either load on one page or several pages or something. And so it kind of takes a lot of the headache out of that.
Yeah, you actually do tackle that in the video. Probably about 4/5 of the way through or something like that. There's the way to get those JavaScript libraries to be implemented on, let's say, a per page basis, and the way that the folder structure works, but also how you can really just quickly say, oh, I want to be on this version or that version or whatever it may be, all done in that graphical user interface. Okay, thank you. That's a great amendment. And see what I did there. That's perfect. So once more, themeover.com/Amender. Honestly, this tool, there's no way on God's green earth that we're going to be able to do it any kind of justice on an audio podcast. But hopefully you got an inclination, dear listener, of what kind of thing you're going to be looking at. The pricing is really competitive. And that's going to be my final thing just before we say sayonara. Because it's curious. I mean, it's really, really cheap, basically. I don't know if you're going to stick with this, but at the moment, Seb said that you can use the tool as much as you like, so long as you are not committing to publishing things. It's, you know, it's like you've got a permanent demo site, basically. But then if you want to purchase it, it's on a per site basis, $29 for one site. Crazy. $49 for three sites. Unlimited for $69. But then you've also got a curious thing in here, which I don't think I've seen done before, which is the separation between features and security. Do you just want to explain that before we say adieu?
Yeah, so basically, so I've always offered MicThema as a lifetime license. So you pay once and you get feature updates and what have you forever. And with Amender, I'm going for a kind of hybrid licensing model where basically you only need to pay once and you will get 1 year of new features. And after that point, you can either not pay anymore and not get any new features, or you can renew. But in either case, you're going to get security updates and bug fixes for the existing features you were using when you purchased it and for a year afterwards. Basically, to avoid the problem you get with subscription models where you buy something on a subscription model and then you have to renew it because otherwise you've got a plugin that's out of date and might be a security risk. And so you're only renewing it for that security, even if you don't need the new features. So it's kind of, and then you're a bit hesitant about, well, should I do this? So it's kind of a hybrid thing. I'm trying to keep my lifetime customers happy with something that's not going to kind of force them to be locked into a subscription, but also have a sustainable model so that people, you know, if they're interested in me building a new feature, then you know, sure, they can renew, and I'm going to be, you know, making sure that I'm building features people want.
I think this is so interesting. I've yet to see this this pricing structure done. And I think it's fantastic. So let's just reprise that. So if it doesn't matter what you pay, if you pay for it just once, you get the product and a year of support and updates. But then after that, actually, you didn't say the word support. I've just
added. You do get support. Okay. You get support forever, regardless, actually. I should have said
okay. that. Okay. But if you don't want to continue using it, and updating with it and what have you, you can discontinue paying, but you will that plugin will be updated. You just won't be able to make use of new features which drop. But you will still get the core updates, if you like, which make it secure and whatever. That's absolutely brilliant. And just in one little bit of clever machination there, you've kind of sidestepped the whole problem which the subscription market brings. And it's curious that you've made a conscious effort to not try to gouge people, because you know that a proportion of them will want the updates just so that they can tell their clients it's fine, it's updated, it's secure, even though we're not using it. So I commend you for that. I think that's really,
thanks.
I think that's really not only clever, but actually very moral indeed. So appreciate that. Thank you.
Cool.
Okay, so there you go. You can find that at /pricing on the theme over page. There's a little toggle at the top, by the way. If you end up at a product which looks definitely not the same pricing, just find the amender toggle. You can switch between microthema and amender, and in that way you'll be able to find the correct pricing. So there we go. That's amender for you. Go check it out. And Sebastian Webb, where can we find you? Do you do like socials or anything like that?
I'm on Facebook. Hello. There's a Facebook group called Microthema Community, which I need to update to Microthema and Amender Community. These are the two products that I do. So you can find me there via my website. But yeah, hello. That's it really.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. There's obviously a help section as well on the theme.
Oh yeah, you can ask me a question in the forum anytime as well. Yeah,
there we go. Okay, Seb, thank you so much for chatting to me today. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much, Nathan. Bye.
Okay. That's nearly all I've got for you today. I hope that you enjoyed that. It was very nice chatting to Sebastian. Go and check out the Amender product. And if you enjoyed that, head to the wpbuilds.com website. Leave us a comment there. If you search for episode number 438, you'll be able to leave us a comment, and we would really appreciate that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting. That includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that's OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, just before we go, don't forget we'll be back on Monday for the This Week in WordPress show. Every Thursday we've got a podcast episode. wpbuilds.com/subscribe to keep updated. wpbuilds.com/advertise to get your product or service out in front of our WordPress specific audience. And that's about it. I'm going to fade in some really dreadful AI generated cheesy music and say, stay safe. You have a good week. Bye bye for now.